T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Station. And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Cousins wanted Thielen. Throws a Hail Mary. Kevin King, did he come up with it?
They're huddling up. We'll find out.
It was a very unusual throw. And in that corner of the end zone, it's hard to see, but Kevin King went after it. And I can't believe...
Ruin on the field is an interception. First down.
I can't believe that Cousins would throw that ball.
Braun, center field, Bader going back, launches it, goes!
Yes!
A grand slam for Ryan Braun on a 3-2 pitch with two outs, and the Brewers take the lead.
My goodness, what an at-bat by Ryan Braun. How about that one? Unbelievable. Another off-speed pitch, and Braun knocks it on out of here. Boy, oh boy, what a game today here, partner.
Unbelievable! 7-4 Milwaukee here in the ninth inning.
Came down to the last pitch, he fouled one off. Got one down the middle, another off-speed pitch, and knocked it on out of here.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. What a day, what an afternoon. In Wisconsin again yesterday, the Packers with a 21-16, I guess you could call it a walk-off of sorts. The Brewers, top of the ninth, they had one out remaining, one strike to play with, and Ryan Braun with another big Ryan Braun moment after hitting just 118 previously in the month of September. Comes back and has that key opportunity. The Brewers still in it. They're a game out of the second wild card spot. They've got the Padres tonight for a four-game set. Packers at 2-0 atop the NFC North. It's not the greatest that our teams have ever been at the same time, but it's nice to wake up on Monday and have those games in your memory instead of a crushing loss to St. Louis or a crushing loss to the Vikings. So I think everybody feeling pretty good this morning.
Yeah, Frames. Was not feeling very good on Friday night when it got beat 10-0. Brewers.
No, and I thought of you, and I'm glad you didn't go down there to St. Louis as you were thinking.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't go. They bounced back on Saturday and won that game. But once again, late inning dramatics. That's been the storyline, I think, in the last couple of weeks, that they've turned this thing around and started winning games on a consistent basis. Now 11 games over the 500 mark. They are coming up with big at-bats late in the game. And then Braun hit the grand slam. I got upstairs yesterday, and I wanted to watch that Brewer game. I was down in the locker room, and I was like, oh, man, bases loaded. Got back upstairs and saw it just in time on Braun's home run. Amazing. Bad pitch by St. Louis. How at 3-2 does he get a meatball like that to throw to hit? He threw it right in Braun's wheelhouse. That was a get-me-over fastball, it looked like, and Braun just tattooed it.
I didn't care what happened. I just wanted that game to be over with so I could go back to watching Red Zone. Jeez, wow. Strike out already.
No.
I've got Chiefs Raiders to watch.
No. Maybe. No.
I got to watch Teddy Bridgewater since Drew Brees is dead.
No, not at the sacrifice of our home team winning, man. They lose that game. Okay, that's a big... big loss, but going down to St. Louis and winning 2-3 from the Cardinals and finding a way to manufacture that game when they were down 4-2, and they get down 4-2, that three-run seventh inning by the Cardinals, I'm thinking, all right, this one's over. And then the Brewers come up with that magic there in the top of the ninth inning with two outs.
I mean, nine of their last 10 they've won.
Remember a couple weeks ago we did the highlight of the season? That is the highlight of the season right there.
Nine of their last 10. I've said a lot about David Stearns. I think he might be a little overrated by you guys. I think that Mark Attanasio might be a little cheaper than we think. But Craig Counsell is a terrific, excellent, great manager. This is Craig Dember, and he takes what's given to him, and he manages it, and he does it brilliantly, and the Brewers still alive in this thing. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. So the Packers win, the Brewers win. Rick Ocasek. Oh, Rick and Oshkosh. Rick and Oshkosh, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
Yeah, not a bad day after all. Despite Packers' offensive goals, the defense won that game for them, and the Packers' offense still laid down and sucked. Okay, so secondly, then I switched in the ninth inning, the eighth inning, and they were winning, and then Black gave it up and says, threw me, hit me over fastballs, and I keep saying, well, why don't you send the pitching coach out there, tell him to stop laying an egg. Then the ninth inning came, and you know, on the email up here, a quick picture, I just watched it. The first time ever Cub fans cheered for Ryan Braun. First time
fans cheered for him. What are you talking about?
First time ever the Cubs cheered for Ryan Braun.
What you're talking, because the Cubs feel like they have a chance at winning the division.
Did you get, like, an email from a buddy or something?
I think they have a better chance of winning the division than getting in the wild card, because they got two teams to get in over the wild card. They got, and the Cardinals and Cubs beat each other up. All the Brewers have to do is win.
I'm so hung up on you're talking about.
Yeah, the Brewers have a better shot at going to the wild card, because they're playing for
three games out.
Yeah, but they're playing. They got two wild card spots they can get here.
Well, that comes to my other point, is that they have to change the wild card system, and they have to allow four instead of one game playoff. Now football does this. They have divisional wild card weekend. Why can't baseball do it and cut down the league games and add a wild card team weekend and have four teams that deserve to get in?
When you say it was the first time that Cubs fans cheered for Ryan Braun, was that a joke that you had created?
No.
Or you said you got it?
I saw it on Quick Pitch.
Quick Pitch?
On MLB Network.
Where does this email come from? Why are we talking about an email?
I don't know where it came from. It was on the right-hand side of my screen. So
if they did wild card weekend on in Major League Baseball, baseball would get done in Christmas.
What?
I just said if they did wild card weekend in baseball and held off, baseball would get over by Christmas.
Rick! Hello?
No, why not? Why not?
Hello? Are you still there? Rick, can't hear you.
We're just having a normal conversation, Rick and I.
And I couldn't hear him.
I didn't know what he was talking about half of the time, but
I couldn't hear him.
I think he wanted what he wanted. I thought he initially said he'd like the wild card to be a best of four. I think he said best of four, and I think he meant best of five, but I think he said best of four.
All right, 414-799-1250. Jacob is on the south side. We'll talk to Ryan Wood at 820. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really, really hate to throw some cold water on this whole Packers start, but I saw a tweet from a friend of mine that said, like, the Packers are going to start 7-0. And first thing that came to my mind was, okay, they could easily be 0-2 right now. They haven't played a quarterback yet. And I'm really, really worried about Aaron Rodgers. So basically, when a team plays a game, generally the first 15 plays or so are scripted. So I looked at the stats from this game. And the first two drives, I think the Packers played 17 snaps on offense. So we'll just count those two. Aaron Rodgers was 10 of 11, 142 yards, two touchdowns, did not take a sack, did not have a pass defended. He was perfect. So, okay, after that, generally, that's when you kind of the script runs out and Aaron Rodgers goes into Peyton Manning mode and he thinks he's really, really smart. And by all accounts, he is. But you look at his numbers and he went 12 of 23. He took two sacks, had four passes defended, and threw for 67 yards. So I was really, really relieved when I heard that him and Matt LaFleur got into it on the sidelines a little bit, because my thought process was, man, how frustrating must it be for LaFleur to come up with these game plans and then to have to watch Aaron Rodgers run the snap count down to or run the play clock down to zero on every snap, do all of his little adjustments, and to see basically zero results out of it. I'm very, very encouraged by the defense. I am going to reserve judgment, though, until we play a real quarterback. But I really, really think just going forward that Rodgers needs to swallow his ego a little bit and let the coach coach, because clearly the results are there early on, at least in this week. But leaving Aaron to his own devices, when you combine with Mother Nature taking its toll, he doesn't have the physical gifts he used to have, and he doesn't have the skill position players he used to have. I don't think that's a recipe for success.
But how is Rodgers not listening to, I guess, LaFleur's game plan?
Well, like I said, if you look at it, it's generally the first 15 plays or so. So, I mean, I broke it down that way. But after that is kind of when Aaron Rodgers goes into offensive coordinator mode. And I think they even said it on the game that Mike Zimmer said something like, Aaron Rodgers is going to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do, and everybody knows that. So, you know, there's always been this talk about audibles and Aaron changing the plays. And I think there's something to it just based on the results, especially this week. You know, the offense was a complete disaster after those first few drives. And to be quite honest, they were gifted really, really good field position by a good defense. So for people to say stuff like I said, that tweet that, oh, we're going to go 7-0 to start the season, like, buddy, you need to just not look at 2-0 and actually analyze what you're watching, because I don't think they've been a very good football team thus far, certainly not as a complete team.
Well, they're one of five teams that were unbeaten in the NFC. Okay. If you look at it in the NFC, who's really been impressive? I mean, not really anybody. 2-0 over two division rivals, I think that's impressive.
You could say the Rams, but they beat up a broken Saints team without Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean
that's the, I think, Bart, any way you slice it. Okay, week one wasn't very very pretty. You still won the game. Week two, you got off to the big lead, and sure, you had to settle in. You got defense made a play at the end, and you scored all your points in the first quarter and first couple minutes of the second quarter. I just thought going 2-0 in that stretch, I'll take it at this early in the season.
Well, let's see what Charlie in Milwaukee's up to. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Charlie, what's up?
Well, I got to tell you, I agree with your previous caller. I think Aaron Rodgers is psychologically trying to be the coach and the offensive coordinator, and he's not carrying out the game plans just like he did with McCarthy, and he's not going to be the answer. It's a team sport, and it's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about the team, and I think LaFleur and McCarthy were good coaches, and he's not going to take them. He doesn't have the skill set to overcome and do it his own way anymore. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Can you just hang on? Thanks for the call. Hang on 1 second. Let me check my notes here. Do you have NFL.com pulled up? Can I take a
look at it real quick here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Packers won yesterday, right?
Yeah, 21-16.
They're 2-0.
I don't get this
with a new head coach.
I don't understand this anti-Rodgers sentiment today. Yeah, I don't get it.
Rodgers looked as good as he's looked in years in that first
quarter.
Don't
be reading in that little dust up there, fans. Don't be reading that little sideline dust up, if you even want to call it that. If Rodgers had his way, don't you think Devontae would have caught the ball 20 times yesterday?
I'm confused. I mean, there was a fumble. Yeah, you can blame that on Rodgers. He wasn't ready. You can blame that on Lindsley.
Yeah.
Allison fumbled.
There was a Rodgers screwed up.
Rodgers screwed up. He thought it was fourth down.
That wasn't him not listening to the coach. You could say that was a miscommunication, but that was Rodgers, like he does with 12 men in the field. Trying to be the smartest guy in the field, but that was his fault. He took ownership for it.
He had some terrific throws where if Harrison Smith doesn't exist, the Packers probably win this game 40-16. I mean, he made some great plays in the Vikings secondary. I'm okay with, criticism for guys when they're struggling and stuff. That's what we do. I don't know what's happening this morning.
Well, I don't see why Aaron is taking any criticism. Sure, they got up 21-0 in this game, but I'm not putting that blame completely. I mean, Aaron Jones, you think if Aaron wanted to run what he wanted to run, you think Aaron Jones would have had over 100 yards rushing?
Yeah, he had 20 carries plus for the first time in his career.
Yes.
What is the big show? Listen to the big show. Any big show in the last 8 years, 2-6 on the Fan. Every single week, since back to Eddie Lacy, Back to James Starks, Brandon Jackson. What do they want? They want a running back that runs 20 times a game, and it never happens.
And
then you get a new head coach.
Even Jones after the game.
And then it happens.
Even Jones after the game said he was surprised that he got the ball 20. He said, I'll take it. I was surprised to get the ball 20 times. And he did. And at the risk, it, you know, Jones, he's not the most durable running back there, but they gave it to him. And he was producing. So, I mean, I think the offense, yeah, they didn't put the ball in the end zone more than they should have, as much as they did in the first quarter. But still, man, I thought Aaron, I didn't think we'd hear any complaints today about Aaron and LaFleur not being on the same page as far as Aaron running his own stuff.
I watched the game. I have two screens up. One screen is me just taking general notes on the game. One is me trying to find the littlest, smallest things that Rodgers does wrong to nitpick so that I can come on the air and just blast him. And that page was blank.
Yeah.
He had a fine game. We did well.
All my notes, I wrote down 20 bullet points I wanted us to touch on today. I don't have anything on Aaron Rodgers. 130 some odd first quarter points, finished with 209. It was like, if Rodgers, if he wanted to, if that was his game to call, he would have passed for over 400 yards yesterday.
Well, let's talk. Ryan Wood will join us in a moment. PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. He saw the dust up. He was in the locker rooms. We'll get his thoughts on all this. I guess we'll start with Rodgers because that seems to be where people. I mean, maybe you read into the dust up. Maybe you guys are.
I don't understand.
Suckered into what the national media wants to tell you.
I don't understand.
Packers
that.
Won the game.
There's no problem. We are here to tell you, as the number one morning show in the state, that there's no problem there with Aaron Rodgers. None. None at all. Guarantee it. Guarantee it.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. 11 o'clock this morning. When you get a meal at Perkins, and you're there after 11 o'clock, it can be breakfast, it can be lunch, it can be dinner, you get a free slice of pie. You don't even have to ask. They come and bring it to you. They'll basically force you to have pie. And I say it that way because there was one time I said, no, I'll pass on the pie. And they said, you cannot pass on the pie. And I said, I'm really full. This was a great meal. I've had delicious food. I appreciate it so much. I'm okay with the pie. They said, well, we'll just bring it to you. I said, it's going to be a waste of pie. There's never a waste of pie, they say. So I take the pie. To-go box, please.
Mm-hmm.
Apple pie. I start driving back to work. I had some stuff to do here. The pie was gone before I left the Perkins parking lot because I left the box open a little bit and I saw it. And I didn't even use a fork. I just devoured it with my hand. So they know you better than you know yourself at Perkins. Free slice of pie after 11 o'clock. Get that today. Also, check out their pot roast potluck menu with different pot roast flavored items. The pot roast stroganoff for later today. The breakfast, the pot roast sunrise skillet, the fajita breakfast quesadilla, all very delicious, all very good. That at Perkins. So does Aaron Rodgers have to work on being Aaron Rodgers?
I'm still trying to digest that. Not the pie, these last two comments here.
We'll talk to Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette. We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Guys, it's Baby Tauschbill.
That he was coming over to talk about that, but we got it all sorted out there on the sideline, and it actually wasn't a big deal. He's just, you know, as am I. We're, you know, a little animated at times, but I can't say we were yelling how much we love each other, but we definitely weren't MFing each other or anything. It was talking about the look there and you know, get on the same page.
Yeah, I would much rather have that than anything else because you want guys that are extreme competitors, and that's what he is.
Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur yesterday, I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette on Twitter by Ryan Wood. He joins us Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays around 8:20 here on The Fan. About 6:30 this morning, Chuck and I brought up the Rodgers-LaFleur sideline thing. Said, you know, this is dumb. I mean, it's two guys that are competitive. Let's just move on. And really haven't talked about it since. And we had no intention of bringing it up with Ryan Wood here right now. And then we take some calls just to start the 8 o'clock hour. And, you know, we play a highlight of the Kevin King interception. We play a highlight of the Ryan Braun Grand Slam. We think everyone should be feeling pretty good in the state of Wisconsin today. We take a call. Rodgers needs to swallow his ego. All right, we take another call. Rodgers is trying to be the coach. I don't know if that's what you picked up on, Ryan, but, you know, this team starts 2-0, sure, it's going to take a while for these guys to completely meld into one brain, but I think the Rodgers-LaFleur era is off to a pretty good start, don't you?
Well, they're 2-0, and those two wins are against not just their top two rivals, not just their closest competition in the NFC North, but two teams that think of themselves, and rightly so, as playoff-caliber teams. So, yeah, I don't think you can script it any better than that.
All right, yeah. I mean, it was a great victory. I just bizarre because I don't remember seeing a game ever where the Packers could look so good offensively, get out to a 21-0 lead through the first quarter and a couple of minutes of the second quarter and not score the rest of the game and hang on like that. Just a tale of one quarter and the rest of the three, I guess.
I think you said the right word. It was bizarre. That doesn't usually happen. I don't know that it's entirely unexpected. Look, there's going to be growing pains, especially on offense. That's just the way it's going to be. You saw a clear improvement from week one to week two. Now, when they start week two, touchdown, 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 you're wanting more than that, and that's understandable. But it certainly was improvement from week one. And so long as they are improving, the bottom line is this. The Packers are 2-0, and they haven't played all that particularly well, especially on offense. They've had one good quarter out of eight on offense. What does that mean? It means that the two teams that they've played that are pretty good teams have played even worse. And if you look around the league, the reality is not very many people are playing all that well in general. I mean, it's a byproduct not just of the lack of preseason snaps, but also a byproduct of how the offseason is wired now. I mean, September is preseason for many teams. I think you're seeing that for the Packers, too. The question going forward is, not just for the Packers, but for contenders across the league, is how much better can they play? How much can they improve? You need to see improvement in the early weeks because the difference between here and December is vast. So that's really the tell of the season is how much better can you play as a contender from what you are in September. Look at the game last night. I mean, the Falcons and the Eagles, those are two teams that have playoffs in their mind. Wasn't a particularly well-played game on either side. So, you know, it's pretty common around the league right now, especially in this opening month, that teams in general don't play all that well. The Packers haven't played all that well, but they have 2-0 to show for it. That's a really good thing to have.
I mean, when you watch the game yesterday, Ryan Wood joining us, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, you see the Packers put up 21 points, and you see, okay, maybe there is a first 15 that were scripted, and certainly on that first drive, they were running the same play. They would just do a different part of the play, and you saw Rodgers get rid of the ball quicker so that the Vikings' pressure never had a chance to get to him, and you think, okay, this can be what LaFleur's offense is. As the game goes on, there's some mistakes. Rodgers thinks it's a fourth down when it's – or a first down when it's a fourth down. There was a miscommunication on a snap. There was, you know, Geronimo Allison fumbles. So the Vikings' defense kind of wakes himself back up, and Dalvin Cook gets free. You know, even at 21-0, you think, okay, well, this is going to be a nice win, but these games certainly are not over. I think when you play out what happened, though, the calls we've been taking, because I do think this is a prevalent thought in the state of Wisconsin today when people talk to their friends, and I want you to give your knowledge to help maybe dismiss it, is that this was what the call said, right? The first 15 plays, Rodgers did what LaFleur wanted. And then after that, he tried to show up his coach. I mean, even though the production was different, was there a difference with Rodgers' willingness to play under the system in the first quarter and the other three?
Well, yes, there was a difference. I don't think it was showing up the coach. I think the improvement that you saw from week one to week two is that the Packers' opening script of, I don't know how many plays Matt LaFleur scripts, but usually it's 15, was vastly better than the opening script in Chicago. The opening script in Chicago, one quarter, they're at minus 12 yards in nine plays. This opening script, three touchdowns. So it was much better. But the opening script, it's not just written on paper and kind of pre-thought and preordained, but it is worked on extensively through the week in practice. It is the thing that these teams hammer home on each day. It's the forefront of their thought. Then after the opening script, it's all improvisation. So the opening script that you're going to be more comfortable with, and that to me, it wasn't showing up. To me, it was an ease and a comfort and familiarity with the offense that is still lacking in week two, because once they got off that preordained, this is the script, once they went to the improvisational phase, the comfort just was not the same. And I think you saw that. And I also think that it's reasonable to expect that this offense is going to feel more comfortable and the quarterback's going to feel more comfortable in the offense come October, November, December than he does week two. So it's not an intentional thing. I mean, what you saw yesterday was not a quarterback trying to sabotage the offense. It's a quarterback who's not yet entirely comfortable with the offense and is trying to get there. But there were still positive gains as well, and the fact that the scripted element of yesterday's game plan went pretty much flawlessly.
The fact about getting comfortable with this offense, and LaFleur said it was more for him than Rodgers. Rodgers wearing an armband. Did they utilize that a lot? It did look different, but is that going to be utilized, do you think, more here in the coming weeks, the rest of the season?
Yeah, they used it a lot, and I think it will be used until or unless there is a high level of confidence, especially in the pre-snap operation. I don't think that wristband is going to go away anytime soon. It's just, and Aaron Rodgers mentioned it again after the game yesterday, it is a more verbose offense in terms of terminology, the length of play calls than he has played in Rodgers said since Cal. So it's been 15 years, whatever. It's been a long time, decade and a half, since he's had an offense like this in terms of the terminology of the play call. So I don't think you're going to see it go away anytime soon. I think that you saw it be especially helpful during that opening scripted portion where the tempo of the offense was very good. After that, when they went to more of an improvisational phase, it wasn't as good, but I think that certainly going forward, you're going to see that quite a bit more.
Well, we want it better from the defense this year, and we saw signs of it last year, and I think that secondary is really coming along. The fact that they turned the Vikings over four times yesterday, I think this – many people are focusing on the offense and where it was the final three quarters, but I thought the storyline was a secondary play and how well the defense played, even though they gave up a ton of yardage to Cook.
Yeah, no, I certainly that's what I wrote about, and it was an odd day for defense because the Vikings had 60 plays, and 56 of those plays they had 210 yards, which is about 3.8 yards per play. You hold an offense for 95% of the game to under 4 yards per play. It's pretty dominant, especially when you throw in the four turnovers. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be more dominant than that, especially against a good offense. The issue, of course, is that there were the other four plays, and the Vikings had 211 yards, actually more yards in those four plays than the other 56. So the defense knows where it needs to get better. The 75-yard touchdown run by Dalvin Cook, the 61-yard reception by Chad Beebe, the 45-yard touchdown by Stephon Diggs, and the 30-yard reception for Adam Thielen on third and four. Without those four plays, you're looking at a dominant performance from this defense. So they've got to clamp those down. But this defense, it has a chance to be special. And the reason is, and it's dependent on injuries. If they stay healthy, that's a big if, especially with some of the injuries they've had on the back end, Kevin King especially. But if they stay healthy, this is a potentially special defense, and the reason is the way that the pass rush and the coverage are feeding off of each other in these first 2 weeks is something that we have just not seen in years from a Packers defense. It's not just the Smiths coming in and providing that off the edge. Every bit as important, if not more important, is what Kevin King and Jaire Alexander can be together. Those guys are really good, and Stephon Diggs had one big play yesterday. He caught one ball on 7 targets. It happened to be the 45-yard touchdown that Jair Alexander almost intercepted, but he didn't, and that's a big play. Adam Thielen had 1 big play, the 30-yarder. But these are, I think they combined for 6 catches, 120 yards, and the touchdown. These are guys, Adam Thielen last year, on his own, in 2 games against the Packers, had 125 yards in both with a touchdown in both. Last year when Stephon Diggs went to Lambeau Field, he had 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. These are guys that typically torment the Packers' secondary. Yesterday, Kevin King and Jair Alexander absolutely got the better of those two. And that says something for what they could be together, because, I mean, Diggs and Thielen are the only pair of teammates in the league that had 100 catches apiece last year. You can make an argument it's the best receiving tandem in the league, and they were taken out of the game.
You know, as we talk about how the Packers go up 21-0 and then start to give that lead away with Ryan Wood here, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. More from you guys coming up, 414-799-1250. There was also, you know, some concerns with the offensive line. It seemed like Lane Taylor was in and out of that game. And then for as much as we've been talking about the tight ends this week, they weren't used as much. And Jimmy Graham, you know, when they bring him in the pass block, I know there was one play where he just got destroyed on that. That ended up being a problem too, both with maybe Lane Taylor and Jimmy Graham, Ryan.
Yeah, they might want to not do that anymore. Now, I get it's the same theory of why do you throw passes to Mercedes Lewis, and Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, said last week it's because you want the defense to feel like it has to cover every player on the field. Same thing with Jimmy Graham. You don't want to tell the defense that he's never going to block and that he's always going to be receiver, because once you pigeonhole a player, any player, into that defined of a role, it's typically not good, and it boxes you into a corner. With that said, there's a couple weeks now that Jimmy Graham has not held up in pass protection. That's not historically what he's been paid to do, is pass protect, and probably something that the Packers over the long haul would be best to avoid him doing.
Raven Green went out with the injury. You know, I've seen reports that Savage also had a walking boot on. Do you know anything about those injuries and you can update us with?
No, you know, we'll see what Matt LaFleur says today. If anything, he's been pretty closed down on injuries. It'll be interesting because there's, you know, those are starting to get a little thin at safety now, with, and not just safety, but inside linebacker with Oren Burks out as well. Those are clearly two guys that they need to have on the field.
Ryan, appreciate it. We will check in with you after another practice or two, and then we'll get ready to preview this Broncos game coming up on Sunday. Thank you, as always. We'll talk to you in a couple of days.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood, he'll join us again Thursday, 8:20. He joined us right now via the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us. We'll take more of your calls, 414-799-1250, coming up. You can tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. And then you can also use the Wendy's email inbox, always fresh, never frozen, although this one may be a bit frozen, from Mark. This came in as we were talking, a real Mark. This came in as we were talking to Ryan Wood. He says, typical Aaron Rodgers, again pouting on the sidelines, running off the field, shaking his head like a woman, blaming everyone else, and then getting into it with his coach. He is the definition of a true diva. Just tag him with the label Coach Killer.
I think that's going a little much on him.
How should I respond? Should I just say,
going a little far?
I'm just going to say
a little
no.
Too much. No, absolutely not.
No.
Yeah.
Just no.
No.
No, Mark.
No.
Or just no.
No. No. No.
No, dude.
No.
No, Mark.
Off base.
How about
overblowing
I say,
it?
You're a diva.
Well, he's just overblowing it a little bit. That's just going. He's going too far. Going too far.
All right, I'm
going
to respond to Mark.
Reading too much into it.
You're a diva.
Well, that he's a diva, Marcus.
Yeah. Oh, he called Rogers a diva, shaking his head like a woman.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Kind of sexist.
Yeah.
Don't be
yeah.
sexist.
Yeah, call some of the divas sexist.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm saying like a woman, shaking your head like a woman.
Yeah.
God, I know more guys that shake their heads.
Yeah. You're a diva. Sent. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. I'll let you know if he responds before the end of the show. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 414-799-1250. So we talked to Ryan. I think that settled things down a little bit, right? That, hey, this was a good game. They've beaten some good teams. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be perfect yet.
Probably not.
I mean, the calls that were coming in earlier, no, you guys are mad at Aaron Rodgers. Will that continue? Chuck and Winkler on the
floor. For us, anytime you can win a division game, especially against a quality opponent like Minnesota Vikings, you can never take that for granted. And, you know, it was awesome. It was an electric atmosphere. I thought our crowd really did a great job of getting loud and provided that spark that we're looking for each and every week. And it really allowed us to get out to a fast start.
Aaron Jones. That's going to be another Packer touchdown.
It was great. Yeah, it was great, man. The whole entire game. You know, I got back to the sideline and coaches asked me what Bradberry was saying on the field. I couldn't even tell him what he was saying. So, yeah, like I couldn't hear none of the offensive line calls, none of that. So, the crowd was great today.
Kenny Clark there. Chuck and Winkler here. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath's here. 414-799-1250. You could tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. A listener just texted me. How does a listener have my number? Oh yeah, I give it out all the time. This says, "Hey Bart, doesn't matter if the Vikings figured us out. Just wait until we get the offense rolling like that for a whole game. We found out that the Packers have a defense to help us out. It's fantastic. Enjoy this ride. Oh yeah, by the way, I seen Chuck at Taco Bell. Tell him not to wear that pink shirt again."
Pink shirt?
When's the last day you wore a pink shirt last week?
God, I don't remember what day it was. Yeah, that was good. What are you talking about? It's a nice pink shirt. Come on now.
I'm just reading the text that I get.
Some guys can pull off pink. Some guys can't. This guy here can.
All you wear is neon. I still don't get it. 799-1250, 414-799-1250.
He should have came up to me.
Let's get to Mike.
Come up to me and tell me. I don't look good in a pink shirt, my man.
In Waukesha.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I don't get these fans out here. Their fan cards should be pulled because they're not watching the same game that we're watching. I think that the offense was clicking, and they're going up against one of the top five defenses in the NFL. Two defenses that, you know, every team wishes they had back-to-back weeks. And I think, hey, they're doing just great. I don't think Rodgers is doing anything other than just playing the game that he's supposed to play. I think they're just, these guys just don't know what they're doing.
Those are two of the best defensive fronts in the NFL, and the Packer offensive line hasn't been great, but I'm going to say that, you know, those are two of the best, man. And, you know, Lane Taylor's off to a shaky start here and making people question why they kept him around.
We just had two terrible seasons, one with a hurt Rodgers, one with a hurt but playing Rodgers. You fired the coach after you lost to the Cardinals at home. You hire a new head coach. You've got an impossibly tough start to the season. You got your new head coach that has to go to Chicago to open the season in the bright lights. And then you got to come back home and take on the Vikings. Meanwhile, you're trying to get this offense installed, and you're trying to teach an old dog new tricks, and Aaron Rodgers, who had the same offense for 13 years, and the end result is 2-0. That's pretty, excuse me, I'm going to swear here, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and they've had to add new pieces.
Yeah.
They've added some free agents. Those guys, they've worked the young guys into the defense and the offense. Aaron Jones was hurt for a little bit last year. He rushed for over 100 yards. Yeah, with a new coach to go 2-0.
Sing it loud, pink shirt Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be the first guy throwing darts at the Packers or any of our teams if I thought it was necessary. But, man, yeah. Maybe these people just all had the over in the game yesterday.
It could be.
And it settled for the under because it went under when it looked like it was a surefire over. I saw one guy on Twitter even put yesterday, he goes, "God, do I at this point feel sorry for anybody who's got the under?" And it was, you know, what, 28-10 at that point or whatever the hell it was? Not 20, then 21-10. And it looked like a surefire over. And who would have guessed it would have stayed that way?
Maybe Chris Myers of Fox had some scratch on the game.
The one on the field is an interception.
I can't believe that Cousins would throw that ball.
He was so mad. He called it. It was first and goal, and he referred to it as a Hail Mary.
Well, but because Cousins went back like 20 yards.
God, Cousins sucks.
He went back like to the 50-yard line and threw that pass.
He is no good. Yeah. He was just throwing up ducks. The Diggs one was because Jair mistimed it.
But when you watch that play by Cousins,
I mean, he was throwing up.
When you watch it, but when you throw that, when you watch that interception,
God, he's bad.
That looks worse and worse every time you see it. I mean, the human eye, when you first see the play, it's like, oh man, that's a bad throw. And then you watch the instant replay, and then you watch it again and again and again, and you watch it on your phone. It's like, oh my God, what was he thinking there? I mean, he's like going back to the 25-yard line and throwing that ball. It's like, what are you doing? It's first down. Waste one. First and goal at the 8. Bart, we're not talking a fourth down play here.
I mean, we can field phone calls, people complaining about Rodgers and a 2-0 start all day. Would you rather have Mitch Trubisky? Would you rather have Kirk Cousins?
Well, I'll say this about Trubisky. He delivered when he had to with 30 seconds to go. He was able to find a guy wide open at the 35.
He made one nice play in the whole game.
How that guy got
and
open.
And the Bears fans are like, oh, we took him over Patrick Mahomes.
They left that guy open at the 35-yard line. In that situation, that's hard to believe. I hope Denver does that to us next week.
Oh, we are just going to trounce Denver. They suck.
If Denver's going to play pass prevent that way, oh, my God, we'll roll over them.
You think Kirk Cousins sucks. Joe Flacco's trying to get benched.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's trying to lose.
Now, the Broncos don't have a capable backup behind him.
When Denver went for the 2-point conversion in that game, I still thought, oh, man, there's still plenty of time left on the clock, even for a guy like Mitchell Trubisky to come back in this game. I just thought there was too much time on the clock. You had a timeout left. I just thought a couple of pass plays downfield, and they're back in it. And sure enough, man, how about that? I would love to see the Bears. That would have been a perfect day yesterday. Brewers beat St. Louis on a grand slam by Braun. Packers beat the hated Vikings, okay? And the Vikings shoot themselves in the foot on the interception during clutch time. And the Bears go to 0-2. Can there be a more perfect Sunday than that?
I don't want to get too cocky, but on, like, Friday, would you be okay staying after a little bit and recording a show about how the Packers destroyed the Broncos so we can just play it as taped Monday?
We can.
And then have Monday off?
We can sneak in. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we'll do the work. We'll do it Friday.
Hey, next week's a big week for us. We got the golf outing on Wednesday.
Yeah, and then the Packers play the next day.
Yeah, it's Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, we're going to be wiped.
Yeah. Boy, look, they play all these home games. What's that, 3 home games in 11 days? God, they're going to be asking for those home games in November, December, though.
Who cares if the Packers are going to be tired? We're going to be tired.
Yeah, we are.
But we can just, I mean, what's going to happen? Joe Flacco's going to suck.
Brewers will be clinching the division next Thursday in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that part of the show I'm not ready to tape
Come
yet,
on now.
The Broncos getting destroyed by the Packers, I am. 414-799-1250. More from you guys. You'll take us up to 9:30.
Will Leroy the Broncos Butler even score in that game next week?
Well, that's a great question.
Cross midfield?
Leroy Butler will join us 9:30, and then if you want to make some money, your boys here on this show delivered over the weekend. We'll review our 6-pack of picks coming up next hour, but do keep it here for Leroy Butler 9:30, and for you. Hey, guys, it's your chance to be on the radio. 414-799-1250.
The Bears are terrible.
I think the Bears might suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Everyone sucks.
They suck and they're terrible.
The Packers might suck too, but they suck the least. It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.